the only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Thanks for joining us in the sports bar. Mike Danger, along with Gene Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Always love bringing in one of our own from the Democrat and Chronicle, Leo Roth, covering the Buffalo Bills and joining us now in the sports bar. Leo, how have you been?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Leo, love the... go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, I just said I was hanging out at the stadium here, and we're out of practice, and that's about it. So some newsy stuff today.
Yeah, I mean, can we start, and while you're out there, here you have the story of Tom Golisano pulling the $25 million. Danger and I, we've been following this whole story dating back to Parcel 5, and you've been covering sports in this town, but I'm sure you have an opinion on the development of downtown Rochester.
It's funny, the Parcel 5 is like directly outside the Democrat and Chronicle's our office building, and so I overlook that thing every day. And it's when I look out there, I wasn't happy to hear that they were going to put a performing arts center there. To be honest, I don't think that's in the best interest of everybody. It's such a great piece of land. I know it's valuable. I know you got to get it on the tax rolls and all that good stuff. But I tell you, it's such a great piece of property, and not many cities have a big open chunk of space like that. And if it were to be developed in some sort of way, they could leave some green space for, especially for all the people, young and old, who are moving downtown and filling up all the new apartment space downtown. I see people walking their dogs today when I go into the office these days, and they have nowhere to walk their dogs. But I notice there's an awful lot of people living downtown, and it would just be great if something they put there, could incorporate how the city's changing. And and selfishly, it's where the DNC's wiffle ball team plays once a week. So we want to keep that thing open. But I'm not surprised at all. Golisano, Tom's pretty shrewd, and this proposal for the Riverway there didn't meet his vision or his goals for the city. So.
Leo, if you're going to continue to play wiffle ball there, turning it into a green space, at least plant some grass so that you I got to imagine it's a little treacherous out there. Nobody's sliding or diving. Nobody's really giving it their all. You have some grass out there. You guys could, really open it up a little bit there for your wiffle ball league.
Yeah, the hardest part is filling those grounders when it hits one of those rocks and that ball just bounces. Yeah, horrible. So I want the city, I want lovely Warren. I hope she's listening. We want some grass, We're going to get hurt out there.
Hey, listen, our demands are minimal. Can we just plant some grass so we don't have to look at rubble while we're playing?
But look at all the concerts they have down there, and how they used it. They use it for the jazz festival and other events. It's just it's amazing. Everyone talks about what's going to bring people downtown. Well, what's bringing people downtown is a big empty hole. Just a big empty space is bringing people downtown. So you don't have to spend $200 million on anything. So they're already. Plant some grass.
Leo Roth from the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle has been covering the Bills.
I sound like a crotchety old man.
We were saying the same thing. We're all crotchety old men here in the sports bar, I suppose. Leo, after watching the Bills offense on Monday, you posed the question, or you had in the context of your column there, and the headline writer wrote, are the Bills incompetent or are they tanking? So I'm just going to turn that around and ask you the question. Leo, after watching this offense, is the management tanking here? Are they that incompetent when it comes to evaluating talent on that side of the ball?
Okay, well, off the bat, I'm going to say I have the utmost respect for Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. I really do. I think they're bright young football guys, and which is what this organization has needed in here for many years. And we also knew going into this year, that the constraints they had. The cap was, they were up against it with the cap. There was only so much they could do in the free agency world, and they were throwing some curveballs with the loss of, Eric Woods' injury and Richie Incognito going off into outer space, whatever happened to him. So it created a bad situation, and then also making the decision on Tyrod. So I think what happened, I knew, I think we all, if we were to go back and listened to what we all said and what we wrote. You know, nobody was expecting more than 6-7 wins. Maybe they were going to have to take a little step back to go forward. I don't think it's unreasonable to say what's going on here when you take, you know, it's not a step back, it's a giant step back. To be on, you know, three consecutive games of single digit points, and you know, a record, you know, they're in the course of setting record numbers for offensive futility. It's just an amazing plan. So I just pose that. I go, what's worse, thinking that this was an intentional, this was by design to get a to get a high pick, high first round pick, or did they just completely botch the evaluations on some of these players, such as the offensive lineman they brought in, the Kelvin Benjamin? Did they think the quarterback situation was very well handled with of course, bringing in, you know, they didn't make a big splash on some of the veteran free agent quarterbacks. They got AJ McCarron relatively cheap, and it seemed pretty prudent until they made it a three-way quarterback battle, and he was the odd man out, and they traded him. I did have a long discussion with Brandon Dean today, and we went over a lot of things because obviously he didn't like the tone of what I had written. But everything's good, and I posed the question. I still put it out there. In fairness, Brandon Bean had his hands were tied in a lot of ways on what he could have done. I just don't think any fan was or media person was ready for such a step backwards. Now the good point is, guys, and everyone, and it's been talked about a lot, is they're going to be in the top three teams for cap money available. They're going to be able to shop till their heart's content. Got a lot of draft picks again. It's going to be a high pick again. They could turn this thing around relatively quickly, but the more this season goes on, it just seems like there's just more needs and holes to fill.
Leo Roth of the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle joining us here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Leo, I'm like you. I respect these guys, and I think they're smart. I think they know what they're doing. I don't believe that this is a tank. I don't even know if that's possible in the NFL. I mean, even teams that look like they're tanking, I don't believe that they have. I think there's too much pride in the NFL and these players and what they put themselves through during a short season for them to come right out and say, oh yeah, we're doing this on purpose so that we can get a high draft pick next year. One thing that I am concerned about, though, and I don't know if McDermott is, you know, he must really, really believe a lot of the stuff that comes out of his mouth, to almost to a fault. Culture is something that he preaches and something that he's talked about, and went as far a couple of weeks ago as saying that culture trumps strategy. And I want to believe him when he says that there's that, he's put that much of an emphasis on culture. But then at the same time, one of his star players has been surly basically since the moment he didn't get traded off of this team. What's up with LeSean McCoy, and how do you think they're going to deal with him moving forward, being that he's been less than productive and avoiding the media pretty much at all costs since the trade deadline?
Yeah, and that was one of the things that happened here today, is that we waited out, we requested McCoy for interviews today, and he politely declined, said, I'm not talking again, and then he kind of, through the PR department, he kind of backtracked and said, well, I got to go lift first. So he went out and lifted weights for a half hour or so, came back in, saw everybody around his locker, and politely said, I'm not talking, and he walked away. So, yeah, he's definitely in a different frame of mind. LeSean's been very accommodating in his time here, even when he was angry when he first was traded here. He was always accommodating, did his media duties, but now these last 2 weeks since the trade deadline, he seems to be a different back, not just on the field, but off the field. And it's been quite a trying year for him in all ways, as we know, in some of his personal life. So, yeah, I know Brandon Bean, I didn't get into it with McCoy today with him, but I know that they did listen to, you know, more than a few offers for him, but they were sticking to their guns on what they wanted. I, a lot of it was lower round picks, you know, fourth round. You know, he's more valuable than that. So I can't fault him for not trading him. But at the same time, you know, where's your future building around a soon-to-be 31 running back that right now is playing like he hit the wall? You know, McDermott today, he's not one to criticize players much, but he was a little. There was a long line of questioning about McCoy today, and you know he did. You know, he admitted, yeah, the offensive line sometimes doesn't win any of the battles up front, and then at the same time there are holes there that McCoy just hasn't hit. You know, instead of going north south, he's dancing too much. He's not hitting them. He's not playing like he can. Sometimes you got to just take the yard or two, go straight, and often times he'll bounce it because he knows that's kind of can turn it into a big play. But he's almost trying to do too much sometimes, especially with this line. But I'm telling you, we kind of knew going into the year that they were really going to miss, Eric Wood and Incognito in the middle there. If you look at the Bills' struggles offensively on the line, it's really the push. You know, it's not so much off the edges; it's the push up the middle, just collapsing everything. And it's alarming when it's not strong up the middle. You got to build up the middle, and that's where they're. You know, and they've been. You're probably going to see a new starting guard. Their rookie Wyatt Teller is probably going to be at left guard against the Jets, next to Deion Dawkins at left tackle. So, and they were testing out other players last game against the Bears. So, you know, the line, you know, here it is week, you know, whatever, going into week 10, 11, and they're juggling the line. And that's not a good situation. So, yeah, the McCoy thing, guys, is interesting. I don't know. I don't know if he'll be back next year. I don't know how the rest of this season is going to go. But right now, McCoy's in a really funky place, and he doesn't have anything to say about it.
At 2-7, not too many people happy. Buffalo Bills taking on the New York Jets. Our guest is Leo Roth, Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. Leo, I seem to recall you writing a column once or twice and then Tom Donahoe calling you up. You said you talked to Brandon Bean. I mean, Tom Donahoe had rabbit ears. I mean, Brandon Bean didn't pull a Tom Donahoe, did he, when you talked to him?
No,
today?
No.
Okay, just making sure I clarified that he didn't read your column and get upset and called you after that. So.
No, he's in that regard, he's not like Tom Donahoe, but Brandon was very professional, and we talked over a lot of things football-wise, and like I said, I think the Bills are in good hands with them. A lot of time as column writers, you know, we have a job to do. And of course, I think he's, like I said earlier, I have a lot of respect for Brandon. Unfortunately, in the NFL, I mean, shelf lives are short with front office men and coaches. The way this business is, it's rough and tumble. And I don't, you know, these guys, obviously, they're not on the hot seat. It's only year two for them. And, you know, they'll be given due time to turn this around and put their plan in place. And it's going to take a lot of patience. Maybe it's a bigger rebuilding job than we all thought it was. And maybe when you go 9-7 last year and everything broke right for them and they got in the playoffs, it does change the expectations heading into this year. And although Brandon Bean and Sean McGuire, they never promised taking a next step. They did couch everything saying that it might have to go backwards. I just think the story of the season as it plays out is the step back was much larger. They didn't take one step back. They took a couple, maybe three. but like I said, they could make a big leap. And it's got to be exciting for a Brandon Bean to have that much cash and draft pick equity on hand to really turn this thing around. Maybe quicker than it looks, but it's all gonna come down on the quarterback. It's all gonna come down on Josh Allen. The best things that could happen, I think, guys, for the rest of this year is getting Allen back in that lineup and getting him 6-7 more games.
Leo, you mentioned that these guys, you know, have bought themselves a lot of time. That this is only year two for both of them. But if the offense continues to be as historically bad as they've been. I mean, you would expect heads would roll. I don't think that that's necessarily the right move. I don't think that you should punish Brian Daboll or that he should lose his job, even if this offense is as poor as it's been. Because honestly, I don't think Brian Daboll has had a bad problem. I don't know that you could put any offensive mind in that situation with the talent on the offensive side of the ball and expect them to be anything but what they've been. But that said, do you anticipate, could you see a scenario where somebody loses their job with this being the NFL come season's end or sooner?
Well, yeah, I think the staff is always up to be juggled. There's no question. The quarterback's coach, you know, the offensive line coach, you know, Daboll, I mean, more was expected out of him. I get it that, you know, hey, he doesn't have much to work with, but let's go back to, when Brian Daboll came here, he was anointed, the next coming of, he was a Bill Belichick clone. He was going to turn this team into, what Belichick does with the New England Patriots. So he did come in with a lot of fanfare, and they didn't downplay it then. They didn't say, hey, wait a minute, he doesn't have anything to work with. Whatever you're given, you would hope you get a little bit more out of it. We bring this up in the context of guys. Three touchdowns. I mean, until they scored last weekend, I mean, they got four touchdowns. They got eight touchdowns on the year, three touchdown passes. It's just an incredible, it's beyond what anyone would expect out of a professional product. I mean, at the end of the day, it is also you're, like I've mentioned to some people, they don't lower the prices when you put out a product like this. So there has to be some accountability at some point. We all understand it. But it also is a product. It's an entertainment business. How acceptable is it? You know, that's up to the fans how patient they want to be.
Leo, let's assume that Josh Allen gets healthy here. Do you put him back out there as soon as possible, or do you put him on the shelf here for the rest of the year, knowing that really what's in front of him isn't going to help?
Yeah, good question. Fair enough. But I'd say he's got to play thick or thin. You know, no matter, you know, if there's five turnstiles in front of him, he's going to have to play because he's only going to get better by doing that. I mean, he's sat here now. It'll be going on a month. I think he's ready to get back in there. Maybe they don't play him this week. The bye's coming up next week. It'll be giving him a good 2-3 more weeks of really getting ready for the final six games. You know, maybe that, you know, that's probably the prudent move. But we watched him today. He's throwing the ball. There's no pain. There's good velocity. He's playing, making all the throws. He looks like he's ready to play, you know, but it's going to come down to possibly the game day decision, or it'll go up to Friday at least. So, but if he's ready to go, you put him back, you put him out there because this is what he needs. You know, and what was the news today? I guess Darnold did tweak his ankle down there.
Yeah. He's got a foot sprain. Day to day, according to Todd Bowles, and you know, we'll see whether or not he hasn't officially been ruled out, but there are reports out there that he's already been ruled out.
Yeah, because when you got a 2-win team and a 3-win team, to see the two of the top 10 quarterbacks in the last year's draft class to play against each other, that would put some shine on this, watching this game. Yeah. It would make it watchable.
Right. Leo Roth, the DNC, we really appreciate you always giving us your time. We know you're covering the Bills. We know you're down there at One Bills Drive. We're curious what you're working on for the DNC, DemocratandChronicle.com. What can our listeners expect to read when they go to the site?
Well, right there now, we just got the update on Josh Allen. We talked to him for a while, and then we'll have stuff on Brandon Bean Q&A and his observations about the year, the way it's gone and where it's going. That'll be later in the week, and then probably something on McCoy's struggles as well. That's the other aspect of the team, and then we're going down to the Meadowlands and see what happens.
If they get a
win, you know, everything feels good. Even when you're 2-7, if you get a win, it changes everything around here. But we've had so many of them. I mean, right now they're in the throes of something that we haven't experienced since the mid '80s, when they went 2-14, and then that 2001 season when it was 3-13. And you know what? Maybe you need these kinds of years. I don't know. Maybe it takes that kind of cleansing. We've had during that 17-year playoff drought, we had just too many. Too many 6-10s and 7-9s and 8-8s.
Yeah, Leo, we talked about that. I mean, we remember the mid '80s and those 2-14 seasons. That felt like the darkness before the light. I mean, that after that, things started to turn around.
Right. You know, maybe you do have to, you know, historically, you know, you're right. That 85 was the second 2-14 season in a row. It set the stage for the Super Bowl run. You know, they got Bruce Smith in that draft. Jim Kelly comes. You know, Marv Levy comes. Jim Kelly comes. Thurman Thomas comes. Cornelius. I mean, a lot of other things fell into place, and it was also pre-free agency, so you could keep, you know, get guys and keep guys. But they had just an incredible period of drafting under Bill Polian and John Butler. It was just phenomenal, and a phenomenal run of talent evaluating in that period that turned it all around. And Brandon Bean's committed to building through the draft. You know, he is, and, you know, he's had you know, they've only had two drafts here. You know, if he could go out and do a draft a week, the process would happen a lot sooner. But you got to wait year to year to year to year. So they'll have their third draft next year. And one thing about this too is that, you know, they did walk into a team that, you know, it's just void of entire draft years are not even on this Bills team anymore, which is just shocking in itself. You know, that's another caveat there, but it's just, you know, and this is before these guys, so that's on the old guys, but just nobody here anymore. But at the same time, Brandon Bean got rid of a lot of Doug Whaley's players. So it all goes round and round and round.
Doesn't it? Yeah. Leo Roth, Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. Thanks for your time on this busy Wednesday. Appreciate it so much, Leo.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Leo. Leo Roth, DNC, joining us here in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Lots there. The Brandon Bean comment is my favorite. The idea that Brandon Bean pulled him aside and yeah, wanted to question him a little bit about that article.
Yeah, that tells me something, doesn't it?
All right, let's serve up the day's top NFL stories next in bite-sized form. Let's talk more about that during happy hour. I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
NFL appetizers on the way next in the Sports Bar. It's brought to you by Alex's Place. Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com. No shortage of news today from around the NFL, including the latest on the status of Sam Darnold and Josh Allen. Dez Bryant finding a new home.
Yeah, he's back in the league. We'll tell you where Dez Bryant, if you haven't already heard. Bruce Irvin, he didn't wait too long to get another job. So Bruce Irvin is going to help a team that right now is on the fringe of the playoff picture.
And as we exit the election season, some familiar names from the NFL winning their races last night.
I had no idea so many of these guys were entered politics as a second career.
All on the way. NFL appetizers next in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester. The all-new ESPNRochester.com is the online home of the sports leader. Listen live 24/7. Read up on the latest Bills and Sabres news. Hear the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on demand. Score stories, opinions, and contests. The all-new ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.